You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. My subject tonight, favor in famine. How do you find favor when everything is barren and bleak and dark and nothing seems to be working out? What would you do? And what do you do when everything is barren and everything is fruitless? What do you do when you're in a famine and you're looking at a situation in your life that is not producing? You reach the end of your rope. You run out of money. You feel like giving up. Nothing that you do seems to be working out, and you feel like quitting. Everything seems barren. Everything seems fruitless. If that's you tonight, I have a word from God for you. Hallelujah. You can talk to God about what you don't have, and God will turn around and talk to you about how he's going to bless you. Open the pages of the book. God wants to bless you. So don't ever quit. Don't let a quitting spirit get on you. And don't ever give up. You can find favor in famine because God is never drawn to fool. God is always drawn to empty. God is always drawn to need. Sometimes we just have to empty ourselves out of ourselves so we can touch him. Amen. See, you can find favor in famine. That's what the Bible teaches, which brings me to my text, Genesis 26 and 1. Look at this. That was a famine in the land because besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So that was a famine before. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So he sojourned in this land, in Gerar. And I will be with thee, look at this, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. What some incredible promises. Now look at verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land, not in Egypt, but in Gerar, and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. Look at this, and the man waxed great. I mean, he's in a famine, but look at his condition after God had blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The Philistines envied him. And that's what your enemy will do also. And sometimes your friend and sometimes your family members, when the favor of God really comes upon your life. Hallelujah. When God really starts to bless you, don't expect others to rejoice with you. They should, you know, but don't expect that. Just know that God is the blesser, and you can find God's favor in a famine. And if you will walk with the Master, God will turn it around, and things won't always be the way they are right now. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you have given us to worship you, for your wonderful presence here, Lord. How when Bishop McGee came, Lord, he commented on your very presence here and how the people were willing to enter in to worship. Lord, we're here to worship you. And Lord, there are some people under the sound of my voice in the house and watching by Facebook Live and live stream. Lord, they need a word. And I pray, God, that you will use me as your vessel to deliver that word that is needed. Bless your people. Seat us together in heavenly places. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. That was a famine in the land, and Isaac sowed in the land in the time of famine. This was not the first famine in the Bible. Abraham, his father, he had been in a famine. And now many years later, Isaac the son, he comes along, and now he finds himself in a famine. Nothing's going right. Times were tough. And in times like these, tough times, you need to know that there always have been times like these. Amen. Sometimes we think that we're the only ones who have had any problems. Sometimes we think we're the only ones who've had to go through some difficulties. But that's not the time to give up. Don't let a quitting spirit get on you, and don't have a pity party. Just look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Sow your seed into those barren places. Sow the seed of the word of God in there, and God will turn your life around. Hallelujah. Look at this right here. Psalms 106, verse 4. I love this. The psalmist said, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation." Do you see that? Visit me. I want you to pay me a visit. Don't pass me by. Praise God. I want you to give me that favor that you give to your people, the favor that comes with your salvation. See, so many people, they think the only favor they get is when they get saved. No, that's just the beginning. That's the favor of God, the grace of God that comes with our salvation. But grace and favor has a much broader definition than that. We are saved, and when we are saved, we become a child of God. And when we become a child of God, God blesses us with his favor simply because we belong to him. We've got covenant rights. We've got covenant blessings. We've got a covenant that was cut with the precious blood of Jesus. And all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. So if you're in a barren situation, get a hold of the word of God. And just know there's always been times like this. Others have gone through it. You're looking at a church full of people. If you look at the body of Christ, many of us, we came out of destitute, barren, fruitless situation. But God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, got a hold of us, and we got a hold of the word of God, and he began to transform our lives and to bring us out and to establish our goings. Hallelujah. We are blessed and highly favored of God. Favor is a gift of God. It comes with salvation. But I want you to know that you can grow in favor. You can grow favor in your life. And when you do certain things, you put a draw upon God's favor. You don't earn favor, but you can grow in God's favor. Grow in grace and knowledge. What is favor? The grace is God's unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's just a gift from God. And God wants to bless you. God wants you to know that his hand is upon your life and that he is working everything together for your good if you love him and if you're living according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Favor can be released upon your life by obedience. Favor can be released upon your life by hard work. Yeah, I said it, work. Favor can be released upon your life because of kind deeds that you do to others. Whatever a man soweth, that is what he also reaps. And when you sow kind deeds, God sees that, and God begins to make favor show up in your life because of the seed you've sown. Just remember this. Nothing lasts forever, and everything has a set time. Did you hear that? Nothing that you're going through will last forever, and everything has a set time. Every trial, every difficulty, every struggle, every bad situation in your life, it has a set time to start, and it has a set time to end. Hallelujah. The devil will tell you this is permanent. It will never change. He's a liar. He always tries to make people think that this is a permanent situation. Jesus came off the Mount of Transfiguration. The man comes and said, "I brought my little boy to your disciples," and they couldn't help him. Jesus said, "Bring him to me." He said, "How long has he been like this?" He said, "Since he was a little boy." The woman with the issue of blood, she'd been sick for 12 long years. The devil wanted her to think it was permanent. She said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." The man at the pool of Bethesda, he'd been that 38 years waiting for the troubling of the water. It looked like his case was hopeless. One day, Jesus came into town, and Jesus walked down among the people, the suffering, sighing, crying, dying people there at that pool. And a man looked up, and he looked right into the face of Jesus. And Jesus changed his whole situation. What I want to tell you is, even though things look barren and things look fruitless, you can find God's favor in times of famine. There was a famine in Abraham's day. There was a famine in Isaac's day. But God commanded, listen to me, he commanded Isaac to stay right where he was. Sometimes the best thing you can do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, we have a human tendency to want to run from the famine. But sometimes it takes more faith to stay than it does to leave. Some of you, you're in a famine in your life. Some of you, you have a famine in your marriage. Some of you, you're in a famine in your family, in your home. Some of you, you're in a famine in your finances. Have you ever been there? I have, but praise God, I didn't stay there. Amen. It would be easy sometimes just to quit, to give up, and leave. But sometimes it takes more faith to stay than it does to leave. Sometimes God has to empty our hands, amen, so that we may lay hold of him. You can't lay hold of God when you got all this stuff that you're holding on to in your life. You got to let go and let God. You got to release some things to God. You got to trust God. You got to have faith in God. You got to believe his exceeding great and precious promises that they belong to you and you can lay hold of God. You know, sometimes when things have gone from bad to worse, we refuse to seek God. Well, that's the time to seek God. He said, seek ye the Lord while it may be found. Sometimes God has to get your hands empty so you will seek him with your whole heart. Amen. God has to empty your hands, and it's not going to get any better for some of you until you surrender your entire, whole, complete will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. A famine can work for you, or a famine can work against you, but it all depends on you. It does not depend on anybody else. A famine can work for you, a famine can work against you, but it all depends upon you and God. It's what you do with the word. It's what you believe. It's what decisions that you make. That's what will determine your course, hallelujah. And a famine can work for you, and a famine can work against you, hallelujah. I'm telling you that there are things you will learn in a famine that you will never learn them any other way in your life. So don't be disgusted about the famine. Just know this. You're going to learn some things. I learned to do battle in the famines of my life. I learned how to put the devil in his place in dark, hard places of my life. Struggles that I was going through. I learned how to praise the devil away. Hallelujah. You can learn a lot of great things. Hallelujah. I said you can learn a lot of things when you're going through a hard place, when you're going through a famine. The Holy Ghost will come. He's the great teacher. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will show you the way. Somebody go and praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, that was a bad day. It looked bad. It was a dark day. When they took him off that cross and put him in the tomb, it went from bad to worse. But here's the principle. When things go from bad to worse, look for a resurrection. Woo! Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Hallelujah. And nothing is gonna make me stop seeking him. I'm not stopping and putting a grave marker down. I'm putting memorials down for every victory that I've won. I've got some memorials. You got some memorials. Some things God has done in your life. So shake off that quitting spirit. Praise God. Get a spirit of praise. Get a spirit of dance. Get a spirit of worship. Hallelujah. Hasharambo. Glory to God. He will bring you out. Just as sure as things go from bad to worse, there will come a resurrection if you will live according to the will of God. God wanted to teach Isaac how to use his faith. Isaac was told by God to dwell right where he was, not to walk away, not to do something drastic, but to dwell in Gerar. God wanted to teach Isaac how to use his faith, and he wanted to teach him how to trust the Lord. He wanted to teach him that the ground was not his source. Listen to me very carefully. God wanted to teach Isaac, the ground is not your source. The economy is not your source. The weather is not your source. God is your source. And even in famine, God can make your seed grow and God can make your famine, your harvest come. I said, even in famine, God can make your seed grow and God can make your harvest come. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Isaac wanted to change. He wanted to move. He wanted to go to Egypt, but God wouldn't let him go there. The only thing you do when you run away from your problems is this. You take your problems with you. You're looking at a man who knows. I didn't get this out of a book. When I first came home from Vietnam after my freshman year in college, I decided I would go back to California. That's where I spent most of my stateside duty. I didn't fit anywhere. Nothing seemed to be working. I was in school making excellent grades, but nothing was working. So I went back to California. I didn't know if I wanted to be a Marine for the rest of my life, if I wanted to finish my college education. I just didn't know. But when I got out of California, I found out that my problems were still with me because I was my problem. I found out it was not the people around me. It was not others. I had a real problem. I had been changed by what I had been through, and I needed a great change. I needed to change, chain breaker and the change maker to show up in my life and do something great. So don't run from your problems. The only thing you do when you run away from your problems is you take your problems with you. You can change your geography, but when you do, you will take your problems with you. Sometimes the grass may look green on the other side, and you get over there and you find out it's AstroTurf. It pays to pray. It pays to obey. It pays to seek God. It pays to be in God's will. Isaac stayed in Gerar, and he sowed in that land in a time of famine, and he received the same year a hundredfold return. It said the same year. It didn't say immediately. Okay? And he waxed great. And he grew until he became very great. And all of this happened in a famine. Here's a man that's sowing his seed in the ground. And the ground is barren. The ground is fruitless. But what was it that he sowed? He sowed to the word of God. God gave him a word. He obeyed that word. He didn't wonder, did I hear from God? He stayed, he prayed, and he obeyed. Now, look at Genesis 26 and 3 again. God said, sojourn in this land, I will be with thee, I will bless thee, but unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. The Bible says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and ours, according to the promise. We be the seed of Abraham, hallelujah. The blessings of Abraham, they belong to us. But you appropriate those blessings by sowing to the word of God. What do you do when you're in a famine? What do you do when you look at situations in your life that are not producing? You take the word of God, and you begin to sow with your mouth the word of God, and your confession of faith, and with your prayers, you begin to speak to God, and you begin to speak to mountains, you begin to speak to situations, and you sow the word of God in the time of famine. Stay in the church. Let me tell you, young converts, stay in the church. Get under the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Get a word from God, and then sow to the word of God, and you will see your life drastically change. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, a sower went out to sow his seed. Jesus said the seed he sowed was the word of God. Now, Jesus was teaching a parable, and he talks about the sower that went out to sow his seed. I'm a sower. I love the word of God. I don't have any funny jokes to tell. I don't have any funny stories to tell. I do one thing. I'm a sower. I sow the word. I know the word will bring forth of itself. Hallelujah. I want you to see this parable, because when the sower went out to sow his seed, and I know every time that I'm preaching, there are spirits that are trying to grab that word right out of the atmosphere while I'm preaching. And I pray, God, give me an anointing that it will penetrate right into the spirit of the people that are hearing it. Hallelujah. Because there's a battle, a cosmic battle going on the whole time I'm preaching. You don't know how many battles I fight just to get into this pulpit. Amen. But praise, here I am again, praise God. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God, full of power, full of anointing, and you can have it, hallelujah, because God brought you here for this message. The soul went out to sow his seed. Some fell by the wayside. And I looked at one translation that talked about the birds of the air ate it. And King James said the fowl of the air. Foul birds, devils. That's what I want you to see. Foul. Don't let the devil foul up your faith. Hallelujah. Get the word and sow it. Some of the word fell in stony ground, had no root, and the sun scorched it. Some of it fell among thorns, and it was choked out. And some others fell on good ground. That's where I want the word to fall. I'm a sower. Woo! Sowing the word of God. Hallelujah. And some fell on good ground. And the disciples, they couldn't understand. Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And his disciples, his inner circle, even three of them in the inner circle were there. And they come to Jesus and say, explain to us, please, the parable of the sower. Now look at Mark 4:13. Look at what Jesus said. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? Then how will you know all parables? Look at this. The sower soweth the word. You must understand this one principle, that the word of God is your seed for your need. That the sower is sowing the word. And the whole time I'm sowing, there's a cosmic battle going on. And there's an enemy that's trying to get your mind over here, get your mind over there, get your mind on what you're going to do after this service. Get your mind on who you're going to be with tomorrow, what you got to do. Don't listen to any of that. Give yourself wholly, totally, completely to God. Amen. The sower soweth the word. Don't let the enemy take the word from you. That's what he's after. Verse 15. Jesus said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, look at this. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately, look at this, they receive it with gladness. Some of you are new. Some of you are old. Some of you just need a word. Immediately they receive the word with gladness. Look at verse 17. And have no root in themselves, so endure it but for a while. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arise, look at this, for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Look at this. If you're not careful, there are a lot of things will take the word that I'm sowing. Look at verse 19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I like this verse. This is where I want to live. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring it forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. What I wanted you to see there was Isaac sowed, and he got a 100-fold return the first year. Now, that's Old Testament. But when you come to the New Testament, some people get 30, some get 60, some get a 100-fold return. You can get a 100-fold return. It just depends on how much you will pray, how much you will obey, how much you will seek God, and how much you will trust God, how much you will believe God to give you what he said he will give you. Turn your faith loose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What do you do when your body is sick and you can't seem to get well? You sow the seed, which is the word of God, in your time of famine. What do you do when your finances are all messed up? You sow to the word of God, and then you plant your seed in good ground. I'm not talking about money. I'm just talking about a principle of the word. And you'll see that as we go on. What do you do when your marriage is in trouble and it's not getting any better? That's when you seek God like you have never sought God before. You get good material. You read the word of God on marriage. You read the word of God on bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You read the word of God and you begin to do a self-examination and say, God, how can I get my breakthrough? You take the word of God for whatever that need is, and you begin to sow it into that situation. What do? When your children are all messed up, that's when you take the word of God and you begin to sow it, and you just keep on sowing it, and you keep on expecting a miracle, because God has a set time for things to begin. God has a set time for things to end. And if you'll follow this principle and sow the word of God, they will come in. Hallelujah. Every one of them, they will come in. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, the high sheriff of heaven, he will go and get them. He will drag them in. And if he has to, if you'll pray enough. I got to Henderson that day. After God spoke to me, he said, I want you to go home and to that church you were brought up in and give your heart to my son Jesus. And I got up there. I learned a great principle that day. I sat down beside my mother, my daddy. I can still see him come out of his Sunday school room and at the hall there. I come out of the Sunday school room into the hallway, into the sanctuary. Sat down on the other side of me, leaned over me, said, I told you he'd be here today. Hallelujah. How can you escape a prayer like that? The Holy Ghost told him, said, he's coming in. I've heard your prayers. And that boy of yours, he's coming in. He was looking at me. He was using his faith. He had a word from God. You can get a word from God. Don't treat it like a sermon. Treat the word of God like it is. It is the seed for your need. And if you'll get a hold of that word and sow it into that situation that looks barren, that looks hopeless, that looks fruitless, I promise you on the authority of God's word, the seed, the word of God, it will bring forth of itself. Somebody go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Philip, will you come cut my apple half in two for me? I even brought a pocket knife. I know you got a knife on you always, but I want to use my knife. There you go. Got a nice little knife. Nice little knife there. And I'll let you have my handkerchief to wipe the blade off. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you a little principle. See, you got to do some things in faith. And it takes faith to move God in a time of famine. And you've got to sow your seed. Now, I want you to look at this apple. Now, you can count the apple, the seed that are in this apple. If you just took it apart and dig deep enough, you can find how many seed are in this apple. I got some big, beautiful, lush apples at home. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to mess one of those up. I'm going to bring this little scrawny apple with me. Amen. I'm going to eat those others. They're beautiful apples. Amen. But you can count the seed in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in this seed. Only God knows how many apples are in a seed. And that's the way it is when you begin to sow the word of God. Only God knows what your seed will bring forth. Every seed produces after its own kind. And if you will sow in your famine, let me promise you something on the authority of God's word. And I'm going to show you what Jesus said. Your harvest will come. Isaac sowed in a time of famine and he reaped a hundredfold return in the same year. Every seed produces after its own kind. God's word. What are you going through? Do you need salvation? We have some people that do. The seed that I preach is the word for salvation. If I preach on salvation, if I preach on sanctification and deliverance, the seed is the word of God. And that's what I will get. If I preach on the baptism in the Holy Ghost, people are going to be filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Amen. If you don't preach it, you won't get it. If you don't sow the seed, it will not come forth. If you're sick, sow the seed of healing. If you need a miracle, get the seed of the Word of God on miracles and begin to speak them into that barren situation. If you need have a child that needs deliverance, begin to speak the Word of God into that situation. I've had them tell me, oh, I don't believe like you do. I said, doesn't matter what you say. I know what you believe. You believe what I taught you because it's ingrained in you. I put some core values down in you that you'll never be able to escape. It doesn't bother me what you say. Well, I don't have the faith like you have. I said, it has nothing to do with your faith. I'm not going on your faith. I'm going on my faith. And I got faith, praise God, that just like my mother and daddy prayed me in, your daddy, and he's going to pray you in, praise God. You are coming in, and I'll get mother to help me when I need it. Hallelujah. Amen. See, God put a couple together. Because that's a prayer of agreement. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. God has seed time, harvest time principles that are laced throughout the Word of God, and you got to work to Word. Now, Brother Elam, he preaches this every Sunday morning. And you've heard this one. There are three things that you can do with the seed. You can eat it, you can feed it to livestock, or you can plant your seed. But the only thing that will bring increase is to plant your seed. The only way you're going to get increase in that area of famine in your life, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the seed, the Word of God. Sow the seed of God's Word into that situation. Now let me preach a little while. I'll let Jesus preach a little while, okay? Look at Mark 4:26. Jesus said this. So is the kingdom of God. I love this. This is one scripture I love because it just brought such revelation to me in my own life. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I'm a sower. I sow the word. So I just cast the seed. Okay, a farmer does that. The farmer, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. It's a mystery. For the earth bringeth forth of herself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn and ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So don't expect to sow one day and to reap the next. That's true for the farmer. That's true when you pay your tithes and offerings. That's true when you take the word of God and you begin to speak it into a barren situation. When you begin to speak the word into a fruitless place of famine and look like nothing's going to change, don't expect to speak it one day and to get your harvest the next day. You've got to work the word. Don't do that. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, it works just like the natural realm. Let me help you, because the devil will tell you it's never going to change. It's already changed. The moment you sowed the word of God into it. Brosha Ramakushataya. The moment you sowed the word, a shift came, took place. See, God is able to switch it. You ever been under the train track and these great big locomotives, they're going down the track and this man comes by and he just takes a little key and takes his arm and moves it over and just redirects that whole train. Everything. A switch came, and God is able to switch it. God is able to switch things in a moment. Hallelujah. But you got to sow your seed, and you got to wait for the harvest. Jesus said, it's first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. No farmer expects to sow his seed one day and reap his harvest the next day. It is the same with seed time, harvest time. Now, that's how the natural kingdom works. And that Jesus said, that's how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground He should sleep and rise night and day. The seed brings forth of itself. What is the seed? The word of God. He doesn't know how it works. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn and ear. Jesus is saying, just like you see natural things around you. He loved to take natural illustrations and bring forth great spiritual truths. And this is one of the greatest spiritual truths you will ever get. Because Jesus told his disciples that if you don't understand this parable about the sower going out to sow the word of God, you won't be able to understand any of the parables. In other words, you won't be able to understand any of the kingdom principles. It's all laced with the word of God. How are you born again? The Bible says born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So it's all seed time, harvest time. Isaac had to sow faith in a time of famine. Where did Isaac learn this principle? You ever wondered about that? He saw his father do it. The angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham when he was 100 years old and told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, how many times do you think this conversation went on in that family? I mean, he's got all these problems because when he was 75, he birthed Ishmael, and that caused all kind of problems. He didn't wait on God, and I guarantee you that was a discussion that was in that family. I should have waited on God because Isaac, you're the son of the promise. Amen. You got to wait on God. And so where did Isaac learn this principle to sow in his famine and to wait on God? Well, he learned it from his dad. Look at Romans 4:18, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I'm going to share this with you. I've shared it, well, not with greatly, but the Holy Ghost spoke this to me years ago. Look at that. Romans 4:18, brother. According to that which was spoken. Do you see that? So shall thy seed be. That which God spoke, Abraham, that which I've already declared that you're going to be the father of many nations, that is your seed. I've spoken something, and I've told you something, and that's your seed. Do you see that? That which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, the Holy Ghost spoke this to me, and he said, the seed for the son Isaac was the word of God. That which was spoken. He didn't have any other seed. His body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. I mean, every time he looks at her, you know, God says, you're going to have a child. And she's getting older and older like this. I mean, and he's not getting any better either. His body's dead. Now, we know when he was 75, he could produce a child because he produced Ishmael. But when he's 100, God rolled death in on that thing. Sometimes God has to roll death in on a promise before he resurrects it. That's a whole nother sermon. Amen. Look at this right here. His body was dead. His wife's womb was dead. Look at verse 19, talking about Abraham. And being not weak in faith. Look at this man. Watch faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Do you see that? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham said, God gave me a promise, and God is able to bring that promise to pass. He staggered not at God's promise. The devil wants to get the word that I'm sowing. When I sow the word, he comes after it. Foul spirit trying to get the word. Because if he can get the word out of you, it cannot stay on the good ground and bring forth of itself. But if you'll just keep the word, watered with prayer, and you'll keep praising God, and you'll keep reading the Word, and you keep hearing sermons under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Word will bring forth of itself. We have people like this all the time. I sit in here and I go home and I say, God, you did such a great thing for that person. Oh, God, I can stand up preaching and I see the glow of God on their face. I see the glory. I see people being blessed. I see people being healed. I see people coming out of famines, coming out of struggles, because the Word of God is going forth. Hallelujah. And it will bring forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in it. Isaac saw his daddy Abraham's faith. And because of that, he knew that Abraham had sown in a time of famine. God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise, and God restored their youth. It's right there in your Bible. When the angel of the Lord showed up, he told Abraham, he's going to make your seed like the stars of the heavens and like the sand of the seashore. And after this promise, Sarah, she was so beautiful that she went down to Egypt and Pharaoh desired her. He was so beautiful that he wanted a 90-year-old woman. Can you imagine such a thing? Hallelujah. But it's right there in your Bible. I tell you one thing. The promises of God, they will keep you alive. The promises of God, they will keep you beautiful. Amen. I look out and I see the glow of the Spirit. I say, God, you got some strange people, but you got some beautiful people. It's wonderful to see the glory of God on people's face. The promises of God, they will keep you fresh. If you can get a word of God and you get that word working in you, it will keep you fresh. It will keep you lively. You don't have to grow old in God. You don't have to give up. Praise God. You can keep your fire. You can keep your anointing. I've had people tell me, well, brother, you're going to lose your fire. You're going to lose your zeal. But that's never happened to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've got more fire and I've got more zeal. I've got more anointing than I've ever had. Why is that? Because I keep sowing to the Word. My wife is my witness. I'll get alone and just read for hours and hours and hours. I'm not looking a sermon. I just want to hear from my Father. I just want to know what He's got to say. Hallelujah. Get full of the Holy Ghost and be filled and filled and filled and filled. Don't ever get satisfied like Bishop McGee preached this morning. And I said and I said again, the only thing I'm satisfied with in my Christian walk is the fact I've never been satisfied. That's so much more to God. Don't let the devil slip in and steal the word from you. Feed yourself the word of God. Feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Let them die in Jesus' name and sow to the word in your famine. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. The Word of God will keep you young. It'll keep you fresh. It'll keep you lively. It'll keep you fruitful. Hallelujah. We're lively stones because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And He dwells in us. And our God is not dead. Things around you may be barren. Things around you may look dead. But God can raise the dead. And He can make you fruitful right where you are. I know the struggles people have. And they feel like this thing will never change. You can't change it. But you can sow to the Word of God. And your Father, which is in heaven, He will change it. Sometimes it's one of the most frustrating things I do. I preach, and I know there are people out there that need to get saved, and they don't get saved. But I can't save them. But I know a man who can. I can't cause blind eyes to open or make the lame walk again. But I know a man who can. I know my God can do anything. If I just keep sowing the word, people who are broken, fragmented, barren, people who look like there's no hope,
If you'll sow
the word will bring forth of itself. You can find favor even in famine. Hallelujah. Isaac sowed in the time of famine. He remembered what God had said, and he reminded himself of how his father Abraham had sown in the time of famine. And the ground he sowed into was dead. But the seed that Abraham sowed into that ground, Isaac said, look at me. I'm the hundredfold return. Everything was barren. Everything looked fruitless, futile, no hope. But Daddy believed God, and he sowed into that barren situation. And here I am. I'm the hundredfold return. And I think I'll enter into a covenant with the God of my father Abraham, and I'm going to sow in my time of famine. And the Bible says he reaped a hundredfold return in the same year. Faith does not sit back and do nothing. Faith without works, without corresponding action, it is dead. You got to put your faith in action. But don't think you can do it. And don't even try to do it yourself. You do what you can. And what you can't do, release your faith to the Most High God and watch Him do the impossible. You do what you can do, and God will do the impossible. Faith says, I just heard a word from God, and I'm going to sow in my time of famine, and I'm going to expect a turnaround. Maybe it'll turn around in a year for you. It turned around for me. My life was barren. It was broken. I didn't get this stuff out of a book. I learned through studying the Word of God how to win my victories. And I might have one up on some people. God woke me up one night, said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I couldn't go back to sleep. You've heard my story, but I like to tell it. And I said, I know Jesus is the Word. Why would you wake me up like that? And God said, learn my Word. My Word will do exactly what I said it would do. It's a guide for earthly living and a roadmap to eternal salvation. And if you will sow the Word of God in the seed for your need into that situation that looks barren, I promise you, on the authority of God's word, your harvest will come. God wanted to teach Isaac how to use his faith. He wanted to teach him how to trust him. He wanted to teach him that the ground was not his source. The preacher was not his source. The praise team was not his source. The deacons, the counselors, they're not his source. God wanted him to know, I am your source. The economy is not your source. The weather's not your source. God wanted Isaac to realize, I am your God. And even in a famine, I can make your seed grow. And even in a famine, I have the power to make your harvest come. I have the power to produce that miracle that you believe in me for. Just like Abraham, Isaac, and many others, you can find favor in famine. If you will pray, if you will obey, if you will sow God's word into that barren situation, your harvest and your blessings will come. It will come simply because God loves you. And God loves to bring favor and blessings out of famine, out of brokenness. He has never drawn to fool. He's drawn to people that have tremendous need. He's drawn to people that will cry out from the depths of their heart and say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I have come to the end of myself. And I promise you this, when you come to the place of the end of yourself, that is where you will find God in your miracle. Let us stand.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, or just to rest upon His promise.
Some of you need to come on down to the altar now.
The Lord.
Come and tell the Lord about that
Jesus,
barren situation.
Jesus,
believe God to turn it around for you.
Him.
Oh, we're here. We'll pray with you. We'll bless you. We'll release faith upon you. But God is the source.
Jesus,
and the Word of God
Jesus,
is the seed. Let's come to the altar and talk to our Savior.
Oh, for grace to trust in.